What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back. We got off our asses and paid 111 Conditioning a visit. We also sat down with the owner, Jaime Jimenez. We had a great time discussing business, life struggles, how Iron Man influenced him, and his passion for training. Here we go, Selected Series, Episode 3. Mine sounds pretty good. How does yours sound?
Yeah, good boy.
I'm in.
Selected Series.
Cool. I hear you guys. Good.
Cool.
So, we were told to get off our ass, so that's what we did, and look, we're here now.
Mm-hmm. There it is.
Yeah, we're here with Jaime from 111 Conditioning.
What's up, world?
Yeah, boy.
Thanks for opening your doors for us.
Oh, man. Likewise, thanks for, you know, stopping in, setting up shop.
That's right.
Cool. So, we were here, what was it, about a week ago? So, we reached out and we got a firsthand experience of stepping into your world and getting a feel for, you know, getting a good ass workout. I feel like I accomplished something out of that. How do you guys feel about, you know,
man,
that workout?
You fucking whooped my ass on that shit, dude. That shit was dope. Honestly, I was sore, like, for, like, the next 3-4 days. I think David, too, came out and was like, dude, I'm still sore from that.
But dog, you know what? On Wednesday, I wanted to, DM him and say, hey, can I come into your Thursday class?
Yeah, yeah.
But
you got bit by the bug, man.
Yeah.
It's addictive.
Yeah, it really is.
That burn.
with the atmosphere you've created here.
Yeah.
It's a very homey and, like, I don't know, you created all this stuff, which is dope, man.
Yeah, I try to really make it so that it's like, I mean, at the end of the day, we're still in here putting in work, but it doesn't feel like a gym, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's tons of gyms out there, and it's like I just kind of wanted to do enough to separate myself and make people feel like more they were, I don't know.
What gave you this idea to come up with something like this, man?
Man, I mean, when I became a trainer, it was like, at the end of the day, I wanted to just open a gym, you know, like, okay, from the get-go. That was like my, you know, my thing. And it just kind of transcended into what it is, you know. Like, I had a business plan, but there was no real, like, idea for it, you know.
Yeah. What got you into fitness like that, though?
That sounds loud, huh?
They'll probably be not.
They're putting in work, man.
Yeah. That's what it is.
We're in the gym, so.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Those that have a problem with it, I mean,
yeah,
come get a workout.
Come take it out in the mitts.
No, but for real, what got you into fitness like that?
That was more of a personal journey. So it was like, at the end of the day, I mean, I was overweight and stuff, and kind of spent the larger part of my 20s always kind of fluctuating up and down, like trying different things to lose weight, just because I was never really, you know, comfortable, happy with myself.
Yeah.
Tried like fat loss pills, like all that stuff, man, and like you just kind of see the cyclical, like, you know, environment that it puts you in, and it just takes a toll on your body. So it got to a point where I was just like, you know what, screw it, like I just need to basically that get off my ass and keep doing that, and you know, not try to take the shortcut, not try to take like the easy way out, but just put in the work and see where that leads me. And
I think a lot of people actually try to do that, you know, like that shortcut aspect to fitness is like, and then they end up damaging their body more than they need to. You know? I feel like I'm one of those people as well, you know what I'm saying?
The one thing I love about fitness is it's very metaphorical to life. Yeah. So it's like in life, if you're trying to shortcut or cheat your way through something,
exactly,
like, life's going to be like, nah, bro. Yeah, like, you know,
you got to do the whole process.
The results won't stick, you know? Yeah. So, and it's just the same thing with fitness. You know, it's like if you try to shortcut it, your body's not going to adapt. Yeah. Your metabolism's not going to adapt. And you're going to yo-yo and balloon and gain weight again. It's like,
when you started, did you have a nutrition like aspect of it too?
No, I honestly, I always look back and I'm like, man, I wish I knew then what I know now. Because I kind of like, again, with that, like, get off your ass mentality, it was more like just work, put in work and work. And I started like calculating like my calories. Like I try to stay within like 2000 calories, but now knowing how you can break it down further and controlling like protein intake, carb intake, fat intake, and like when you dial it in real specific, like you can really, really have like way better results, and you don't even have to work as hard.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing. It's like when you find a good balance of nutrition and a workout, you don't have to sit there and like beat your ass to.
So you can work out forever, but if you're not eating correctly, right, you're just not doing
it. Yeah, because at the end of the day, like, not to get too scientific about it, but fitness and like weight loss is all mathematics, you know. And it's like if you're creating a minimum of like a 500 calorie deficit of what you're eating, then you're going to lose weight. But if you're eating tons and your workout still isn't burning and creating that deficit, then you're not going to like really lose the weight that you want to lose, you know. And that's where people kind of get it mixed up, where they're like, oh, I worked out really hard, so I'm going to go like, you know, and just splurge, yeah, and like binge eat. And it's like, that's cool, but it's going to take a little bit longer. So
yeah.
Instead of, you know, that first day that you remember that you were going to flip the switch, you were going to turn it around, and you were going to, you know, get off your ass and do something about it. So take us back to that.
Dude, that was mentality. A tough time. That was like in the heart of like the recession, this last one that we went through.
Yeah,
so okay. I think it was like 2008, 2009, around there. It was just, man, like I kind of came out from like not being able to get a job. Like, to backtrack a little bit, I was supposed to like take over my dad's business. So like I have a welding background. We used to like, you know, do a lot of gates, doors, stuff like that out here. And that was like the plan. Like, it was like, you know, I worked with him for like 5 years, learned the business, and like, you know, when he gets close to retirement, just kind of like pass the baton.
Okay.
When the recession hit, it was like we had to let go of workers, and then I was the last one where my dad was like, you gotta go, dude. Like,
what?
Yeah, so I was like the last one. And so yeah, after that, it was really hard to find work. Like, it was about a year and a half of like putting in applications. Like, even Toys R Us, doing shipping at night, didn't call back. I was like, what the hell is going on? So it was like kind of like very demoralizing, you know. And I remember sitting there being like, man, I can't for the life of me control this. But the one thing I can't control that I keep complaining about is like my weight and the way I feel. So I started going to the gym to kind of like just whatever. I had no idea what I was doing. I just was going and working. And I'd like open up magazines and look at workouts and stuff, and then just go from there, okay, you know. And then in that, I found like a therapy in it. Like, you just kind of like, if you have anger or aggression, I mean, it's a very healthy way to like just kind of outlet.
Yeah,
you know, like headphones on, world off, just go to work.
Yeah.
And in that, I got bit by that bug, man. And it was like, I just wanted to keep on feeling good, no matter how bad I felt outside of the gym. Like, in my workouts, I felt like,
yeah,
I was in control and I was empowered, you know, like in that little like hour or hour and a half or whatever. Yeah, you know.
That's definitely some anger then that you had.
Yeah,
this was what was pushing you to
get out. Yeah, just kind of being tired about like complaining and like knowing that I had it in me to change something, but I just wasn't. Like, I was bullshitting, you know.
And did it take anybody telling you anything or?
Not really. I mean, it was kind of just kind of seeing like there was people out there that were like kind of still doing things, like, I mean, in terms of making moves and stuff, and I can see them accomplishing things, and in my head I'm like, bro, you're just sitting back like supporting people and like enjoying the projects that they're doing, but it's like, what are you doing for yourself? Mm-hmm. You know, and there comes a point where it's kind of gonna be like, I want a piece of that little like success pie also, you know, like I want to prove to myself that I'm deserving just like anybody else, you know.
Also, your dad keeping you with him for so long kind of kept you tethered to him.
Yeah,
so you weren't growing.
You
had that.
For sure. I mean, honestly, like, my dad's a super hard worker, and like, I mean, I've always had that example, but in that, like, we didn't have to really struggle as much, you know. And it's like, I say that with pride only because I know he put in a lot of hard work to take care of us.
Most definitely.
You know, so he set a great example. But in that, if I, you know, in my early 20s, if I struggled financially or something like that, it was like I had pops there to kind of help me out a little bit. You know, he'd teach me a lesson, but at the end there was a little bit of a bailout. And when the recession hit, it was like, bro, you don't even have that. Like, you know, I mean, my mom went through 2 cancer battles, and the finances and stuff like that, you know, they were tied up. So it was like, you don't even have that outlet anymore, bro. So you're on your own. And in your like later 20s, when you're like, not to get like masculine about it, but when you're a man trying to like call yourself a man, you sit back and you're like, bro, I can't even like.
You can't do that.
So, you know, it was like.
That's tough. That's very relatable, because my dad's always been a hard worker, and obviously you probably learned from your dad all that hard work. You can accredit it and have him, or you can say that he's probably your biggest influence in life.
I would say so, man, definitely, like, without hesitation. I mean, even till this day, man, he's, I think, 64, 65, he ain't slowing down. Yeah. Like, if I go work with him, he's clowning me.
Yeah,
and he'll be like, that's why you work out so much, so I can, like, run circles around you. I'm like, oh, thanks, guy. Yeah. Like, you know, like, he's
But you take that as, like, that's love that he's showing you.
Because
he's
absolutely.
Like, hey, you know, step your game up.
Yeah,
like,
for sure. For sure. I mean, you know, we all realize, like, when our parents love us a certain way, you know, and I think that, like, with him, like, I learned that from a long time ago, you know. And then working with him side by side, it was, like, it kind of diminished that, like, father-son relationship. And it was, like, the boss, you know, employee relationship. And it was, like, okay, this dude means business, you know.
So tell us about, okay, so obviously you shifted to working out because of, you know, struggles and stuff. So what turned it into a passion or you know, what you do now for a living?
Pretty much that, man. Just feeling the empowerment of it, like, through my own personal journey. And then just realizing, like, I would love to help people. You know, like, when I started working out, this valley's so small, like, everybody knows everybody, you know? Yeah. So it's like, when people start seeing you on this little journey, they start seeing you lose weight and stuff. And I would kind of, like, constantly get asked, you know, like, what'd you do? What worked, you know? And so I realized that, number one, there was, like, a little bit of a void that needed to be filled. Like, there was a little bit of direction that the universe was calling for. So I was like, okay, like, I'm cool. Like, I love this enough. And then, number two, like, I love seeing people do good. Like, family especially, but, like, just friends and people I grew up with. Like, I love seeing people succeed. So for me, it was like, all right, cool. Like, this is the way to bridge those gaps and, like, you know, really just kind of, like, help other people feel what I feel, you know?
That's neat.
I wanted to ask you about college. Did you ever think about going to college?
I went. That's another, like, example of, like, starting something and then not finishing it, you know? So it's like, right when I graduated high school, I moved to LA for 1 year. So I went to Santa Monica College. They had, like, this little art school that they kind of owned also. I wanted to be an animator, like, really bad. So I went to this program, did the program for 1 year, and it was just, like, shell shock. Like, LA was not for me. I was major introvert, like, major, like, just not sure of myself, insecure, and that world is, like, so different from the desert.
Because you come from such a small valley, and one freeway, and it's
Was like, if you want to go to McDonald's, you're going to sit in traffic.
That's right.
You know, like, it wasn't, you know. So, I did a little bit of college there, came back, did a few courses at COD here and there, but, like, never really followed through with it, you know. Like, I just kind of, through finding good work and decent jobs, you know, growing up, like, I was fortunate. School kind of took a little bit of a backseat, you know.
The way school is formulated now and how technology is moving forward, would you say that the next generation should push or strive to go to college?
I think so, man.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, I tell that to a lot of, like, either, like, the youth athletes that we train in here or, like, nieces, nephews, like, younger people that I know. I really, really, like, as much as I love the journey that I've been on, I wish that I would have kind of given, like, that part a little bit more of my time and, like, dedication, just because, I don't know, things could have been even better. I don't know. You know, like, knowing how strong-minded I am now and how I've proved to myself that I can do things, it would have been nice to see, like, what that path would have led to. But, you know, that's for somebody else. Like, obviously, this is my path, and I'm cool. But, yeah, like, I think that school shouldn't be shunned. You know, it's there for a reason, and if people's career choice needs it and is dependent on it, then definitely, like, you got to put in the work to get to where
right, like
go.
A nurse or a doctor. Yeah. But now how everything's so specialized, you can take, like, for instance, you had to do certificates, right?
Yeah.
To get this gym going. What kind of journey would you tell somebody that's trying to, like, for instance, start a gym? What was the program? What were the programs that you had?
So, in regards to what I do now, I did, like, it was one of those vocational, like, I think it was 11 or 12-month program that was basically pendant for, like, personal trainers. So, in the personal trainer world, like, you can get an online certification, or there's, like, some pretty, like, good certifications at the forefront that even if you just go online and complete your hours and do your things, you know, like, you'll get a certification. And if you grew up, like, in the fitness industry, or, you know, you were familiar with working out, you can do it all online and be a successful trainer. You know, I think I found a love for fitness in such a short time span that I wanted to do the program because I was going to learn a lot more, and I had a lot of catching up to do, you know. So the program that I went to gave us, like, kinesiology courses and anatomy courses, like, just kind of quick, you know, blitz at them, but like it was like better than not having none, you know. Right. And then they gave us like a few business classes, and then I took a business class at COD. Again, not like getting a business degree, but just, you know, just took a little simple class on small business to kind of catch the ins and outs of it.
Nice.
Was that all done before you started becoming a personal trainer at that other gym you were at?
No. So that one only, like, I the school and everything like that, aside from just that last business class.
Yeah.
That was all done before I was already training at the other gym, yeah.
Gotcha.
And then, like, it just kind of like timing wise, it just worked out that I took that small business class, and then like literally like a month and a half after, I got the opportunity to like look at this space, and it was like, whoa, okay, like it was all fresh on the mind, so yeah. It kind of worked out good, you know.
Yeah. So just seeing the space, you already knew, like, you know what, I'm gonna set this up, I'm gonna make it happen.
Yeah. I mean, nice. I'm not gonna lie, I had a couple of doubts in the beginning. I mean, the dream was there, but it was, like, seeing this space specifically, I was like, this is tiny, dude. Like, I can't open a gym in here, you know? But, and then just realizing I've seen gyms in small places, and then looking back, like, I mean, I trained people out of the parks before. I trained people in my home garage. Like, clients would drive to the garage and train with me. So I realized, like, if you offer good training and, like, a minimal amount of equipment, like, people will come if you have that great experience, you know? So then it was more of, like, okay, like, it's go time. Like, let's make it happen. You know,
what kind of training do you focus here?
I mean, we have a range, dude. Like, we do personal training. It's myself and then my boy JR, who's another great trainer. I've been training alongside him since I want to say like 2011 or 2012. So him and I vibe like very, very well together, and we're very like-minded. And so we do personal training, and then we do athletic development and stuff like that. He works with a couple of pro boxers doing their conditioning and stuff like that. And then I'm working with a couple of up-and-coming, like, collegiate athletes and stuff like that. So it can get as basic as, like, just weight loss or, like, movement and athletic development.
Very personal to what their needs are.
And then we do the classes, like, in the evenings and stuff like that, the group training classes and stuff.
Do you still do the camps at the parks and stuff?
No, it's so funny because, like, I did that for a few years, you know, and the second I opened the gym, like, I was so proud and happy to have the gym to, like, bring the camps here. And then I'd hear a couple of, like, the people that would go to the boot camps, you know, forever. They'd be like, oh, I miss those. And I'm like, yeah, but we got a whole freaking gym now. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, but yeah, I get it. The vibe is, like, real fun, and it's outdoors and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
So.
No, I can see that. I can see people being used to, you know, being out, but. Yeah. Man, you come in here, and, like, the last thing I thought about really was, like, the size of the place. I didn't even think of that. Yeah. It was, like, I see what you got around, all the equipment. It's cool, man. And then you already had a crowd in here that, you know, they knew what – it looked like they knew what they were doing. Yeah. So you could tell the regulars that come in, so.
And that's the one thing that I love. I mean, in the gym world, it can get very cyclical, especially, like, with the smaller, like, boot camp style gyms. It's like, come do a challenge with us, and then, like, in another few weeks it's a fresh crop of people. You know, and the one thing that, you know, not knocking their hustle, like, they do great work with people too, but with us it's like more of a just like a long season of clients, you know, like all the people that come to our classes, it's like the gym family, you know. That's why it's community. That's why it's called club, because it's almost like a book club, but, like, you're working out, like, everybody in here is cool with each other, and, like, we all talk about food while we're working out. We're all humanizing the process, you know, like allowing ourselves to, like, you know, enjoy life, but work out and put in work at the same time, you know. So
I got that feeling for sure. I have a question. So what, before all this started, what was the biggest hurdle you had to overcome to get the spot really going? Like, what was the biggest thing that you had, like, trouble with?
Man, I would just say just self-doubt more than anything. Okay. You know, like, even then, like, I had already kind of been through the process of proving that I was, like, you know, strong-minded, and I had a dream, you know, but there's a fear involved when you're actually going to open a brick and mortar, you know, because at the end of the day, it's very, like, it's a lot more public. You know, so it's like if you're gonna do good or bad, like, people are gonna witness it. There's a fear in that's like, oh man, dude, I don't wanna fail. You know, and every motivational speaker you hear out there is like, they all tell you, like, it's okay to fail, like, failure's part of the process. And it's
fear,
like,
that
sounds cool and all, but, like, I don't wanna be at the root of that, you know? But at the end of the day, you have to kind of put that aside and be like, look, if you're giving it an honest, you know, an honest effort and you're doing what you got to do and you're being, you know, smart about the business side of it as much as like the industry side of it, then, you know, hopefully the universe takes care of you and people, you know, gravitate towards you and you do good.
Yeah.
You know,
that's a great answer, man.
Yeah.
You also have to surround yourself with positive people.
Definitely, man.
Because if you have somebody in your ear telling you, nah, dude, that space is too small, or nah, like, how are you going to do that? Like, yeah, all this negative or walls that they start to put in your way, you're like, yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. that's for sure true. I mean, again, going back to like what a lot of the speakers say and stuff like that, it's like everywhere you look, it's like surround yourself by like-minded people or positive people, yeah, or people that are continuing to push you, you know. And that's another good thing about this desert and knowing a lot of people, is you kind of do see the people that are making moves and are doing things, and you kind of sit back and it's like, okay, if they could do it, I could do it. Yeah. You know, it might not be the same industry, but it's like you're taking an idea and a product and you're giving it honest work and you're following through with it and you're showing people that this is what you're about.
Yeah.
And they're supporting it, you know? So it's like, why can't I do that, you know?
Right before you pulled the trigger on signing the lease for this place, did you come up with a business plan, or did you already have things, I don't know, did you bounce ideas off?
Yeah, I had like a cheesy little business plan that I had to do as a project for the school that I was in. And so that was kind of more of like just kind of getting like the overhead together and stuff like that, and realizing like what it would take to like run a smaller operation gym. And then I kind of dialed in that business plan in the other business class that I took. And so I kind of revisited that old, because that was already like a 3-year-old or 4-year-old plan.
You were polishing it.
Yeah, I was polishing it. And then aside from that, I had already been kind of like somewhat in business for myself, because as an independent trainer, you're having to pay, you know, your dues and stuff like that, and
getting your clients.
Yeah, and you're setting up your sole proprietorship, you know, and doing all that stuff. So there was already kind of like an idea of business, like in my mind, you know, like I was already running a business essentially, and then selling shirts and stuff like that, like doing a little bit of merch here and there, you know. So it was like you have to be business minded and responsible with, you know, the profits and all that stuff. So
nice.
So what would you put on those shirts? Like, what kind of designs? Was it already 111 conditioning?
That was like the whole Goya get off your ass thing. So like was like my first little like kind of like creative slogan, baby. Yeah. Like I would go work out on my own, like at the time, Instagram was only like iPhone users. So like Facebook was more like the thing, the social media platform that people were still on. Yeah. Yeah. And so like I would go to the gym and check in, and when I would check in, I'd put Team Goya, but it was kind of more of a joke because Team Goya was just me.
Okay.
Like I'd see like The Rock had like this Team Bring It thing, and like a couple of celebrities had their hashtag team whatever, and it was like, okay, Team Goya, like it's me, haha, you know. But then in that, like, you know, people would hear that it was like it stood for get off your ass, and it was like this little slogan that I would throw around. And so, like, I would see friends go to the gym, and they would hashtag Team Goya, too. And it was like, sweet, dude, like, we're growing. Like, the wolf pack is growing, you know? So then I started doing shirts with, you know, the Goya sayings. Like, and there were just little, like, graphic plays, like, on, you know, logos and designs and stuff. Kind of, like, similar to what streetwear is doing. But I was kind of, like, bringing, like, the fitness side to it.
Yeah,
you know?
That's dope.
How come you didn't go with the, like, Goya Fitness or something like that?
I wanted to separate like that venture from the gym, because the gym, I wanted it to be like its own thing.
New chapter.
Yeah, new chapter. And plus, if I have, you know, we have independent trainers in here. So I also wanted them to feel like they are still able to plug their own brand and their own, you know, persona and fitness, you know, label, you know, and help them grow too, you know. Yeah, so it's like it's more of an umbrella for all of us, you know. So Goya plugs in here, but then like my boy JR, he's Premier Fitness, you know, so that's his thing. And like,
Under 111.
I mean, it's his own thing, but yeah, like we're all, you know, we're contributing to 111, you know. So
community of
And then the name, it was like just a staple for the community, you know. Like I just wanted to make it so that people felt like it's been in the community for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, so it was like, I mean, we all 111, or we all love 111. Like that's the freaking the journey through the center of like the you know, the valley. So it's like. Right.
Damn. Yeah, it
connects us all.
Super dope.
One of the large veins that run through the whole desert.
Yep.
So, any plans on you know, opening up maybe a second one, or any plans of expanding this
That's
one?
Hard.
Will we see like an I-10 conditioning?
Yeah, I-10 conditioning. Right next to the dealerships right there. Yeah. I just expanded this location. I had the location for about a year. I think it was just about 2 years. And then I had the opportunity to expand, and I jumped on it. I had it after the first year, and I passed on it because I felt like if I would have made that expansion, it would have been more based on, like, ego. Like, yeah. My gym grew in a year.
Okay.
And I'm a little bit more calculated when it comes to making certain, like, movements and stuff. So I kind of gambled and passed up on the opportunity, and then it opened up again.
Who was sitting in that spot?
There was, like, a retail store. Before, it was, like, a screen printer. My buddy Glenn from Windmill City Screen Printing.
Oh, okay. Cool.
He was running his business out of here, and then he grew out of the space, so he moved. And then another, like, brand moved in, and they were doing some streetwear stuff. And then they moved. They decided they were going to move their location, so it just the opportunity opened up.
Did you see anything in their businesses that obviously Glenn grew and so he had to move, but like for instance, the other person, was their business not picking up or?
To be honest, I'm not too sure. I know like just streetwear in general, a lot of it is online, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know if that was like more the avenue that they wanted to focus on or not, but I just, you know, as soon as I knew that the space was going to open up, it was like, okay, like.
The overhead was probably super.
Yeah, the overhead, I mean, it catches up to you, you know, and that was one, that's a reason why I passed it up the first time, because it was like, the second I sign that lease, it's going to be like double the air conditioning bill, yeah. Double the, you know, so it was like, I didn't want to jump on it just then. I wanted to make sure that the business was actually, you know.
Profitable.
Yeah, profitable, and not only that, but I wanted to make sure that I knew like the ins and outs of the space that I already had. You know, if I felt like I wasn't like maximizing that square footage to the fullest, then it was like.
You were squeezing every inch of it.
Yeah, smart. Yep.
So even before you got the opportunity the second time, had you already been thinking about it? What you like picturing what you would do with?
Oh yeah, that other sure. For yeah, sure, for sure, for sure. I mean, that's the thing is like there's always got to be like a look beyond. You know, like I mean, if you get complacent and comfortable, then you're not really gonna like you're gonna just do good enough. Yeah, you know, and I mean, at the end of it all, it's building yourself up. Like in my terms, it's building myself up to be big enough to help as much of the community as I can. So obviously if I have more square footage, then I'm going to be able to fit more people and there's more people getting, you know, accomplishing, you know, transformations and stuff like that through their fitness journey or whatnot. But at the end of the day, it's like, again, it's just not wanting to grow too fast, you know, and making sure, okay, like when I do grow, like it's time. So I kind of already like in my brain had it like outfitted to what I wanted to do if that opportunity, you know, provided itself, you know?
All right, man. So I wanted to ask you, every time I drive by here, when I came here for that class, I just see this big old mural. So what's that? It has something to do with the club, right?
Yeah, that was like a huge passion project. So Tim and Cub, local fighters, I mean, I'm pretty sure anybody locally listening knows who Tim Bradley and Cub Swanson are.
Shout out to them.
Yeah, big shout outs. They're amazing dudes and amazing athletes. When I first got the space, that wall was just blank. It was like white. Just for like a whole year, just driving into that wall, it was like this boring white wall.
Yeah.
You know, and kind of like I love following UFC and like boxing and stuff like that. And you see like the lead up to fights, like they'll follow the fighters on their training journeys and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And there's athletes out there that have murals in their hometowns and stuff. And in my head, I'm like, dude, we have two pro like amazing athletes out here.
Sick.
And aside from that, like they're both stand up guys. They're both like, you know, they're not clouded with like freaking controversy and stuff. Like they're really they give back to their community. Like they're role models, dude. Like at the end of the day. So my thing was like, they both started training, you know, boxing and jiu-jitsu, like, on 111, like, in this strip of 111. So it's, like, their history is, like, you know, the origin, kind of, so to speak, is, like, here.
Yeah.
So it was just, like, the perfect match, man, of, like, wanting to fill that wall up with, like, a cool, you know, cool mural. And I teamed up with Rick Rodriguez, which is a great local artist. He's a good friend of mine, too. And I wrapped the idea to him, you know, and he shot me like a concept sketch. And after he did that, it was like, dude, we have to pursue this, man.
Yeah.
We have to. So it was like a year of like, man, like a lot of back and forth of like making sure that the fighters were cool with it and the city was cool with it and the landlord was cool with it and the artist was cool with it. Like there was like five different parties of people that I was kind of quarterbacking and making sure that like everybody was on the cool page of it all, you know. So at the end of it all, it came into fruition and it happened, and it was like, dude, it's been amazing ever since, you know, like such a beautiful presence in the city. And
yeah, I think it's a part of like Cat City history for sure. Yeah, now, like forever.
That's, and the cool thing is, like, when we presented it to the city, it's like they were very open armed about it, and like kind of were like, we hope that this propels like more murals throughout the city.
Oh yeah.
So it's like, it's kind of cool that it was like the first big mural project for the city. And then, you know, we're going to start to see things like sprout up here and there. So that's cool.
That's super dope. Super, super dope.
Nice, man. Well, let's get into the equipment inside of the gym. So talk to us about that.
So the equipment, having the background that I have in the welding and stuff, and having the opportunity to open the gym, man, like equipment, squat racks, all that stuff, it costs like an arm and a leg. Like, it's a lot of freaking money, you know. And so I knew that if I was going to be able to outfit the space the way I wanted to outfit it, if I were to be able to build everything and fabricate everything, like, it would make the space much more usable, you know. So because a lot of that stuff, it takes up a lot of space, it gets in the way. So the original, like the three squat racks that I built, we made them so that they retract. And when I say we, my dad and I, he helped me do a lot of the fabrication too.
Okay.
But I made them so that they retract, because in the beginning it was just the one side. So if there was groups in here and stuff like that, I needed as much floor space as possible.
Yeah.
So I'd close those squat racks up, and like I had instant room, like extra room for people, you know. And
so then equipment tailored to your space in here.
Yeah, and then it just gives it that rugged look, you know, like I left them unpainted and let them kind of rust up a little bit, so it just looks rugged, like freaking Mighty Mix Gym from, like, you know, the Rocky movies and stuff like that.
Yeah,
it
gives
you that grit and
that
grime.
That sweaty, just old school kind of gym.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. No, it's
so it came together, man, and it's just cool because, like, I've, at the end of it all, I've always had a creative eye, you know, like I wanted to be an animator, so there's like artist, you know, background there. And then I did graphic design for a few years with Best Signs in Palm Springs. So there's like layout history there and stuff like that. So I've always kind of tried to like tap into my creative, you know, outlet as much as I can. And with the gym, it's like, that's been the biggest canvas of fun for me, man. Like, just
having fun. Did you create your logo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so the logo, the marketing, like all the branding and stuff like that, like that's all.
This is yours?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. The one on the wall right here, that's Mike Rios.
Oh, okay.
So that's when I first,
Shout out Mike.
Yeah, shout out Mike, man. Like, that dude, without a doubt, was like a good push, you know, and telling me to like even do this, because I was training him for a while too, and he's always been a homie. As soon as I opened the space, he drew this on the wall, like freehand.
Wow.
So the 111 shield and like that logo, like that, you know, I came with that first.
Yeah.
And then when I asked him, like, as soon as I got the space, I asked him to do like something a little bit more like street, like, I don't want it to be too graffiti, because a lot of gyms do that now, and it's kind of like, man, you guys are like fleecing that culture, you know? I asked him, you know, like, can you do something dope? And he was like, man, I can't do anything like street style. Like, you need some vintage. Like, this place has a vintage feel. So he just went to town, like, freehand on that.
Clean.
And
yeah, it does.
Yeah. And then we vectorized it. I was like, okay, that needs to be a shirt. So we vectorized it, and, you know, have done merch with it and stuff.
Oh,
but
dope.
You have a website with all that stuff on
it? Yeah, 111conditioningclub.com.
Nice.
Yeah, we do the training whenever I do have merch available. It's on the website, or just, you know, in gym.
Can people sign up to your classes?
Yeah, so on the website, there's like a little menu tab on the top left hand corner. Just click that, and then it'll have like a little book a class little option that's going to take people to another website that you create, like a member name and a login.
Okay.
And all the class roster sign up is done all, you know, online.
That
gives me an idea of who's coming to class. So because I keep the classes at like about 12 people, I don't like to fill up the gym with a lot of people, just because I want to be able to make sure that I'm looking at form, or even when JR is coaching his class, like we're able to really look at form and technique and stuff, and not just, you know, like fill the gym with people and people are rubbing elbows and, you know.
Yeah.
Do you ever cross-pollinate and like teach his class and have him teach your class?
I've never taught his class, only because he does the box fit, and he's good at like mitt holding and stuff like that. And yeah, like I would probably be holding people back if I was holding mitts for them, you know? So
the last time we were here, we saw like a karate or martial arts, right?
Yeah. Tuesdays and Thursday nights, because the gym is outfitted to be able to, you know, work with independent trainers and instructors.
That's right.
That side, the other side of the gym is set up kind of for like, if people want to come, you know, teach a yoga class or like do certain things. And I was approached by a martial arts school that was training out of Palm Desert, and they saw the space and loved it. And we sat down, worked out, you know, some good numbers for them, and they came in, and they've been hosting their classes. So Tuesday, Thursday nights at, I believe it's 6 o'clock, 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock, they host their classes and stuff like that. And
what kind of martial arts are
they? It's a Ishin Ryu karate, like they call it Bushido Kai Ishin Ryu, I believe.
Sweet.
Very traditional.
Have they taught you any stuff?
Nah, I kind of eyeball it here and there, you know, but so like, because at the same time that they're teaching their class, like when you guys came to class,
yeah.
I have my class on this side of the gym going on.
That's right.
It's like we pack it up with energy and like they're doing their thing, we're doing our thing, and you know.
Definitely.
Yeah, when we were here, I was in this corner, so I was closer to the kids. Yeah, I was doing the karate, and I'm like, man, I can't look a fool in front of these kids, man. Hey,
low-key,
keep working.
You got a little kick by your forehead really
quick. Yeah, I'm like, oh, wake up, keep watching me.
Yeah, because they were watching, too. Yeah. They were there like, oh,
so, what are some prices that, for the listeners out there, what are some prices for your classes here during the week?
Yeah, so we do, the classes are $13 pop-in, or if you, like, buy packages, they're like $10 a class.
Nice.
And the cool thing about the way the classes work is it's not like a recurring automatic payment or anything like that. It's like you buy a package, it'll give you credits for classes.
Yeah.
Whenever those credits are used up, that's when you have to re-up, and that's that, you know. So it's a real simple like pay to play type thing, you know. If you miss a day or something like that, as long as you cancel your class, you'll hold on to that credit.
Nice.
So I mean, you know, I know life happens and stuff like that, and people have the intention to come to a class, and if you know, if they miss the class, I don't want to be like, oh, well, you know, the accountability said you should have came. So that's your loss. Like, I get it. We need to, like, have accountability. But I also want the people to know that, like, they're getting what they pay for, you know. And we're teaching people based on, like, you know, just that. Like, you know, the accountability comes with the fun that comes with the class. You know, we have a great atmosphere here. And people are, like, they like coming, you know. Like, I love the fact that, like, I see smiles on people's faces here. And you know, we all have a great, great vibe and culture in here, so it's cool.
Yeah, I'm glad we were able to experience that firsthand. That was fun. And that was dope, man. I was sore for a good week after, but hey, like, right away, as soon as you leave, like, I felt like, oh, I want to come back.
Yeah.
For sure, like, without a doubt. So I feel like people coming in, they'll get that same feeling.
And as a trainer, that's the thing, is, like, I don't look forward to hearing that people were sore.
Yeah.
You know, like it's like, you know, some I see some people there like, yes, you know, like my client couldn't walk for a week, and I'm like, nah, dude, I want my people to be able to like work.
Yeah.
We still have work to do during
the
day.
Yeah.
No, one of the things though that I think stood out, a lot of these things I've never done before, and incorporated things that I have, like simple squats, but like the squat with the ball throw and stuff like that. A lot of that stuff, and I felt like it felt good.
Yeah.
You know, it felt good.
Yeah, yeah.
Like we were all like encouraging each other. So I think that's something unique about your club is like these specific workouts and how you have it set up and how it's in a circuit. I love that about
the club. And the biggest thing with us is like we really, really push like form over speed. You know, like when it comes to the workout, I mean, we want people to like feel like they know what they're doing and like their body's reacting the way they want it to react, and you're not just like overworking just to sweat.
Yeah.
You know, so for us, it's like slow it down a little bit. If you're focused on your movement, you're still going to get a great workout and you're still going to break a good sweat. And like you said, you felt it in like the arms and the muscles and stuff. So it's like you don't have to work super crazy.
Yeah.
You know, if you focus and you put in like smart reps, that's going to be just as like good on the body and good on the calories, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I like how it's like, you know, it's not that big of a class too. So even though there's 12 of us or 10 of us in here, you're still concentrating on it. That's what we were just talking about outside with the homie Ari. You know, you still feel like you get that attention of like how to do certain things, because that's one of the things he had said was, you know, we go to the gym sometimes and we don't know what the hell we're doing, you know. And here you give us advice on our form, and but you still let us do it.
Yeah.
And it's not that intimidating, like, oh, I got to do it right. But I think I'm doing it right because he told me to do it like this, and you're straight.
Yeah,
you know?
And see,
a lot of people don't get that.
That's the cool thing about the class design is, like, I'll be able to look online, like, before class and see if there's, like, a bunch of new names, like, on the roster. Then I'll know, okay, like, I'm going to kind of fundamentalize the workout tonight and make sure that it's easier for me to coach and, like, kind of guide people through certain movements rather than, like, trying to put these difficult movements and, you know, like, overwhelm myself as a coach with trying to teach one person and the next person and the next person. Like, if I keep it a little bit easier for, like, the newer names, then I know, okay, like, I'll be able to coach that class and have quality movements come out of everybody. Whereas if I see the rosters full of people that come all the time, I'm like, all right, they're in for a good one tonight.
Dope, though, right? You're probably able to look back at your regulars and see how their form has progressed when you go back to like the very fundamental steps. You're like, oh man, this person can squat lower or has a better balance.
Yep, and that's the cool thing, man, is like, you know, seeing a new body come in here and seeing like something as simple as a squat or even the lunge, like those are two movements that are like, they can be pretty specific. Like, you can be very technical on teaching that movement, you know, and like that movement, you'll see somebody do it right off the bat because they've done it with other trainers or at other gyms, and it's like, no, hold on. I'm not worried about how low you can go. I want, you know, this, and this, you know, and focus on this, you know, and then you see them kind of switch it up, and through the weeks, you see that squat getting better and better, and it's like, sweet, you know, like, you just see the progression, you know.
That's dope. I was skimming through your Instagram, and I was noticing that you don't, you approach your workouts more like body movement, and there's hardly, of course you do weights and stuff, but you focus on the motion of the body.
In my own little journey, like I obviously like would do the weight training and stuff like that, and the more like, you know, isometric style training, like bodybuilder style training and stuff like that. But as I started getting in shape, I started getting bored with those workouts. So I started like making like little creative combos of workouts. And then the TRX is like one big tool that like within the last, I'd say like 8 years of fitness, like it became a staple. So throwing that into the mix and getting creative with that thing and working balance and just feeling more athletic with movement and like giving your workouts a purpose, you know, and making sure that like if I'm moving out of here, like I'm moving at the best that I can. And it's not just like looking good, but it's feeling good too. You know,
do any of the of your club members ever tell you about how they're dieting or what kind of things they're eating? And do you encourage stuff like that?
Yeah. So we don't do like specific meal plans with clients and stuff like that, only because we're not nutritionists. And that's a whole other world, man. Like, you know, every single body that comes through that door is dealing with something different. You know, like there might be a thyroid issue or like a gallbladder issue or this or that. So if we give them a little cookie cutter nutrition plan, it's not going to work, man. Right. Like we're going to be hurting somebody more than we are helping them over, over, you know, a period of time.
Yeah. Some people might need more protein, more different types of,
it's everybody.
They're deficient on this or, and then they can't eat red meat or, or they don't want, they're allergic to gluten. Or,
One thing that we do try to do though, and like I've hosted a nutritional seminar and I'm planning on doing a lot more, because we try to break down nutrition to its like simplicity. You know, like nobody ever really taught us how to eat or like what the importance of like a protein, a carb, and a fat is, you know. We hear it on TV, we see like celebrities pushing certain diets and stuff like that or certain products. And we take into account like, well, they worked with the professionals, so they know what they're talking about, so that's what I should do. And it's like nobody really teaches us the value of food, you know.
Plus, we got fed that propaganda of like the pyramid, that the nutrition pyramid.
That was just all to sell food to the
people. You know?
And that's the funny thing about even like documentaries you watch on Netflix and stuff like that, like. There's a lot of agenda being pushed by, like, you know, industries and stuff like that on those that, like, if you can take the heart of what they're trying to tell you about eating better without being, like, completely sold on, like, products or this or that, then it's like, okay, that was a good documentary to watch. But then when you're, like, completely, like, just, you know, you come out hating carbs and it's like, dude, carbs aren't bad. Like, you know, they're not. It's not the carbs' fault. It's your use of carbs that's the problem, you know, so... That's the thing about nutrition. But yeah, we try to talk, we try to like educate, and we try to like make sure that people are able to still have a social life and not completely just like get crazy with like obsessing like this diet plan and stuff like that, you know, because at the end of the day, that kind of like in my experience and what I've seen in the industry, it leads to a lot more binge and yo-yo and stuff like that, you know.
Like burning out.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So you mentioned doing talks. A coworker of mine actually, he said that you did a, you presented at CSUSB, I think the Palm Desert campus.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Once, tell us about that.
Yeah, that was pretty fun, man. My boy John Calderon, he was in that in the business program over there, and they invited me to come talk. That was like after I had just opened the gym up.
Oh, okay.
So it was kind of similar. Like it was just talking about like, you know, opening the gym and like, you know, what I did in terms of like branding, marketing, stuff like that, and. Just kind of like the same thing, like the process and the journey and just like the gym, you know. But it was pretty cool because, I mean, I mean, not for nothing, but I didn't really have, like, the college, you know, background and stuff. And okay. then I was speaking to a college class. Speaking to I was like, all right,
that's
cool.
Like, that's even better. See how it works.
That always tends to happen to a lot of people. That's why I was asking you earlier about the college thing, because it's not, like, a straight line. And some people don't ever even finish high school, and then they're very successful. It's because they have that in them to push. And I think that's what's very key. Right. A lot of people don't learn how to problem solve in high school. They're not teaching this
and
stuff.
And even going back to that statement, I guarantee you I could have sat and had conversations with each of the students in that class, and they could have taught me something.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, again, it's not obsolete. But the thing is, like, because of my passion, I realized I had a need for knowing about business, you know? And it wasn't like I went into business school knowing, like, one day I want to own a business, or one day, like, I'm going to need this degree. You know, so it's like, I think there's a path that, like, either you develop, like, the passion and the interest, and it tells you, like, you're going to turn this into a business, or you go the school route, and then you realize, like, you know, you're going to work in that world, you know? Yeah.
But not just that. I think you also develop the ability to learn, like, to be open-minded. Like, you have an open mind.
I think you have to be, man.
When we approached you, you're like, yep, right away. Yeah. So if somebody's, like, too big, you know, and then they get their head filled with hot air, and all of a sudden they're just like, I'm cool.
Nah,
what are
man.
You talking about? Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's. I mean, this is fun, dude. You know, like, and I'm talking to an audience, like, more so than I couldn't talk if I was stuck here in the gym. You know, and then I've listened to the two podcasts that you guys have released already, and I'm like, after even just hearing the first one, I'm like, I'm sold. Like, your guys' podcast is dope. You know, you guys have great conversation, great content. And I honestly, like, relished in the fact that I'm like, I want to be at the beginning of their podcast. You know, like, my cousin Daniela, she tagged me in your guys' thing, and she was like, that'd be great to, like, you know, tell your story. And I'm like, sweet. Yeah. Like, great freaking plug right there, you know. And then I jumped at that opportunity, you know.
That's why we also, we were going back and forth to seeing, like, who
shout out Danny.
Major shout out to Danny.
Put this whole thing together, the videographer and stuff. And from day one, she was like, hey, like, super supportive. And I told the guys, I was like, yeah, look, we're looking for people that are, like, hungry.
Yeah.
And that's our whole motto. Like, we're looking for those hustlers, those people that are, they see the potential in themselves, but they need to get together with other people that can kind of use as a stepping stone. Like, you know, let's push each other. Let's not pull each other. Like that crab.
Crabs in a bucket.
Yeah, crabs in a bucket.
Yeah. And the crazy part is, like, I've seen the valley shift because I did kind of witness that mentality for a while, like, in, like, years ago, where there was a little bit more of a crabs in a bucket mentality, where it's like, if somebody's making it, then everybody's kind of, like, just kind of watching, like, and pulling, like, them down and
bitter.
Instead of, like, supporting. And then once one makes it, the handout comes, and it doesn't have to be, like, a bad handout. Yeah. It's just like, dude, like, you supported me, like, let me support you. And it's like, now I see, like, a different creative, like, cultivation of people that are coming together, where it's like, you're doing good, I'm going to support, I'm going to do good, you're going to support, like, and then we make a presence, like, as a valley like the other valley, like,
or just the rest of the world, like, hey, look, we're a beam where people should be attracted to.
Exactly. Like, this valley in the last, like, few years has had so many eyes gravitate towards it because of, you know, the festivals and all that stuff, that it's like, dude, like, we're from here, like, this is our home turf. You know, that kind of takes me back to, like, the beginning when I started doing the park workouts. I remember social media was just starting to get, like, big, and a friend of mine brought two trainers out from Orange County, and they had, like, a little bit of a social media presence and stuff, and, like, people turned up for their boot camp. And I'm like, wait a minute, like, that was fun, but they're not even from here, and people showed up.
Yeah.
So I'm like, this is my home, dude. Like, why can't I do that? Sir.
You know, the thing that I took from our last interview with Pete, and this every single day, like, it plays back in my head. We are the adults now.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
We are the people that should be setting the foundation for the kids that are coming up.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, let's be role models. Let's be that person that tells you, like, look, this is how you should treat people. This is how you should communicate. Yep. Yeah. Have a dialogue. Don't be closed-minded.
Yeah.
Push on that positivity and that love, and,
and
that this is
and,
great.
And the
man.
beauty of it is doing it as a valley.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, it's like, if I have somebody outside of my industry that I know, like, somebody needs to network with, I can be like, hey man, this dude, he's at the top of that industry.
You're right.
Like, go talk to him.
That's what we've been noticing. It's like, oh, well, that person is good at, I didn't even know that person could do that. Yeah. Let's reach out. And we've been just doing that. That network, to create your team. Even if that person is not in front of you, that person could lead to something else.
You know what, though? I think that took a while to happen because of social media. I think it's easier now for everybody to be more in, like, touch with each other. Because before, I feel like, I don't want to say it was, like, kind of how Jaime was saying about, there was almost, like, a bitterness of, like, when somebody was successful. But now it's because we're so involved with each other's lives now that it's, like, in our especially our generation of people, we're such an, like, understanding and we're not so close-minded, how you're
But
saying.
We also grew up. We're now in our 30s.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we're all mature now.
We matured a little bit,
But I think the previous generation didn't have that because they didn't have social media like we did.
And the
I think now,
Cool thing about social media is, like, you can see the journey from the start.
Yeah.
You know, like, the day you decided you wanted to start, like, or you found a passion for music. Yeah, exactly, dude. MySpace, like, all that, man. Yeah. Like, taking it back even before then to that, like, the AOL chats and all that stuff, dude. It's like, dude, we come from, like, the birth of, like, a lot of that, like, social communication.
Yeah.
And, like, in our years, it's transcended to promote business, but it's also, like, a little bit of a gift and a curse, you know, because there's so much, there's such a fast, like, spread of information. Sometimes it doesn't get fact-checked.
Yeah.
And that's where, like, a lot of, like, the hype takes over, like, what's quality.
Yeah.
You know? And as like, we all have a responsibility to stay as organic to, like, our passions and our just our what's the word? Our ventures.
Mm-hmm.
And stay true to it to the point where, like, if we're being honest with our community and the people that, you know, we're working with, then we're preserving and we're not overhyping or we're not, like, just trying to, like, get rich off of something and bastardizing that said industry.
Yeah, definitely.
You know?
Plus the cream always rises.
Yeah.
Man. It always, it the best kind of shows. And so we're also looking at the ability to fact check somebody as quickly as they put something out. You're like, wait. You're completely wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, so picture you crossing paths with overweight Jaime, the one that didn't want to get up and work out, do anything like that. Picture you crossing paths with him. What kind of advice would you have for him now?
Get off your ass. Dude, like get off your ass 10 years sooner than you thought you needed to get off your ass, you know? And the only reason I say that is because I know, like, I went through a lot of shit in finding myself in my 20s, and I owe a lot of my relevance, like, when it came down to fitness, you know, because, like I said, fitness is a metaphor, like, workouts are metaphors. Without getting too Mr. Miyagi about this shit, like, it really, like, can apply to, like, the rest of your life. And so when I'd see myself going through, like, a tough workout, it was like, are you pissed off about life? Are you, like, do you hate the way things are going for yourself? Okay, cool, like, overcome this freaking set of whatever, and that's, like, you overcoming that one thing in life that's pissing you off.
Yeah.
You know, and when you kind of tap into that empowerment, you realize, like, okay, I'm a little bit more badass than I give myself credit for.
Right.
And that overweight Jaime was a very, very, like, very introvert, like, insecure, just very, very self-conscious person, you know? And when you realize, like, you need to step out of that bubble a little bit, like,
step out of that comfort zone.
There's
a
lot of beautiful world in that ocean right there. Like, you need to, like, take the floaties off and jump, dude.
Yeah. Man, you're kind of like a therapist. Music fitness. No, that's dope, bro. Like, the way you see it, a lot of people, I mean, I'm like, wow.
When you tap into it that way, dude, it's like, I mean, honestly, like, this is personal experience, you know? Like, I was able to tap into that. But I will say that that's a very, very tough thing to, like, a tough tool to utilize over time, because when things are going good for you,
that's right.
Yeah. It's hard to find that same, like, hunger.
Okay.
And, you know, like, not that I want to toot the horn and say things are amazing.
Right.
I mean, I'm in a great place, dude. I have a great wife. I have a good business. You know, my family, like, everybody that I love is healthy. So it's a beautiful place to be in. And when you find yourself wanting to, like, find that, like, grit
at that point,
you know, it's like, oh, dude, like, no, I'm listening to, like, freaking great music right now.
That's when you move the bar.
You
just put it a little bit farther,
exactly,
so that you're still hungry. Exactly. You still push on that stuff.
And it's good for you to figure that out, because you're gonna have clients too that, you know, aren't going through a struggle, and life is good, and you want them to come in. So
that's one beautiful thing that I have witnessed here in the gym, is that I've in turn been inspired by a lot of my clients, dude. Like, a lot. Like, I have a client that just finished a marathon, and, like, seeing him do that was amazing, dude. Shout out Ruben. Like, he killed that, dude. And that's then, like, you know, just seeing other clients that, like, through their personal journey, they'll come through the doors and be like, I never thought I'd be, like, happy to go to a gym. Sweet. And hearing that, it's like, sweet, dude. Like, that's exactly why I built this place to be what it is. Because I remember being that little, like, chubby dude at the gym not wanting to be seen by people. Mm, and so I'd go late at night and, like, in the little corner, you know, and, like, working out away from everybody, dude. Man,
it's you real, know? Though. So, it's real.
So, yeah, that's, it's, plus you also had, like, family struggles. Like, for instance, your mom, she was probably a big inspiration to you. And be like, hey, stop being a bitch and like, bitch
your shit. That's exactly it, dude. That was like that was one thing that I said in another interview that I did, where like she was my biggest inspiration because I was going through shit. She had like a very 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 two battles with lymphoma, and like she was like a class act about it, bro. Like you talk to her and she'd just be like, I like I'm okay, you know, like, or she just wouldn't question like why me, like woe is me, and I'm sitting there complaining about little shit that it's like, bro, like, get it together, man. Like, she just fought to live in this life, and you're complaining about the same life, you know? Like, come on, bro.
Yeah. So, yeah. It's that first world problem.
Yeah, man. Yeah. But if you're able to, like, really, you know, put things into perspective for yourself, like, and really, really, really unfilter, like, what you're seeing and accept it, then you'll make that change.
Yeah.
You know? Because a lot of it comes from, like, us not wanting to hear that we're living, like, a certain way. Or
you're right. You're right. Especially also, like, us other people not being able to relate to other people and being like, hey, that's why we're also doing this podcast, because if somebody listens to it and they're like, oh, wait, they're struggling just as much as I, or they struggle just as much as I have.
Right.
So I'm going to give my ass up.
Yeah. And there's solace in that, man. Like that's the thing. That's another huge reason why I wanted to do this, man, because it's like if one person, like, again, as cheesy as that can sound, dude, if there's one person that listens to this, that's like, okay, I get it, Jaime. Like, I'm going to get off my ass. Like, I'm going to, like, start doing this one thing that I've been dreaming of forever. Like, it doesn't have to be fitness.
Yeah.
Fitness will help you realize that things take commitment, consistency, and hard work to accomplish, you know. But whatever, like, whatever that dream is, like, get off your ass, man. That's it. That's what it boils down to.
One of my biggest... persons that inspire me a lot is I don't know if you know who Jordan Peterson is.
I do not.
He's a Canadian professor. He's always trying to uplift men in general.
Okay.
And he kind of pushes on like people, like if you want to organize your life, is simply clean your room. Like start with just cleaning the environment that you're in.
Yep.
And so like once you can see that just your proximity, like your the closest thing around you is organized, then you can kind of step out of your world and kind of start pushing on that.
Healthy habits, man. Yeah. And being able to, like apply them metaphorically to things, you know? Like, even the gym, man. Like, I'm a pretty OCD person. So the gym, like, if I'm not training somebody, I'm walking around straightening things out and stuff like that, you know? And it's, like, it's tough, but I just never know who's going to walk through those doors. So I want whoever comes in to see the gym and be like, damn, that place, like, it looks nice.
Yeah.
Like, without, you know, even little things like making sure, like, the ropes are, like, in a nice little circle and, like, you know, like, the ambiance and the aesthetics of it just look good, dude. Like,
candy of it.
You know, that frame is crooked. Shit, I need to go fix it really quick. I don't know, like, being shy in the beginning, it was tough, but then you slowly see, like, it doesn't matter what you say as long as there's great conversation and you're, you know, engaging. And that just kind of helped me shake that, like, that aura off, you know?
Yeah.
I see that you have Iron Man on your arm.
Iron Man's my
dude. What's up with that?
He's my dude, man. Okay, so, like, I was hyped when the movies came out.
Yeah.
But if anybody grew up out here, they knew that Movies 10 had a comic book store right next to it.
Yeah.
And so when we were younger, our parents would, like, let us all go to the movies, drop us off with a little bit of money, and we'd watch, like, 2-3 movies at a time because it was, like, a buck a movie, you know? So, like,
with babysitters.
So yeah, pretty much with, like, cousins and friends and stuff, you know? So if it was in between a movie, we'd go to the comic book store and just waste time until the next one started.
Nice.
And I remember picking up an issue of Iron Man and seeing him, like, doing something like welding in a picture. And in my head, I'm like, dude, this dude's doing what my dad does. Like, that's pretty cool. Like, the superhero does what my pop does. So Iron Man always stuck out, and it was cool, you know? And then when they started, like, talking about the movie and stuff, it was like, sweet. Like, there's going to be a movie. There's going to be merchandise. And it was just like... it was more available. There was more availability to get products.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's so funny because like in the movie journey, like he comes out, he's wearing like this big bulky suit when he's like
the first one,
yeah. And then he refines it, and it becomes this like amazing thing through his own tinkering, you know. So it's like I shed that first suit, Wow. And now it's like I'm in that new armor, you know.
That's a dope ass metaphor.
Do you relate to the actual superhero or the person inside the suit?
The person inside the suit, I would say. Aside from the fact that in the comic book, Tony Stark's dealt with a lot of inner demons in terms of like alcoholism, which made him like one of the first real like characters in comic books that helped, that was humanized like that, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
But just more in terms of like always like thinking, always being inventive, always being very like tinkering and stuff like that. Like I've always been like that, you know. Like I love building stuff. I love just getting like hands on, you know.
Yeah.
That's cool,
that's
man.
That's a dope reason to like anime.
But you also have Yoda. What's up with that too?
He's wise, dude. He's little. He's little and wise, dude. I'm 5'7" on a good day, so it's like.
There you go.
Yoda's full of wisdom, and he's a little dude. You know, he uses his mind for his strength more than he uses, you know, actual physical strength.
I like that. I like that a lot, man.
Is that one of the reasons why you you shied away from hitting the gym and stuff, just because of your physical? Not shortcomings, but just like for instance,
sick ass short joke.
But you also like all the sports, right? You're into you can play everything.
I grew up playing soccer.
That's right.
And then high school, I got real lazy. I got super lazy, and I got more into like the import racing and stuff. Like I was really into like the racing scene. There has been like a little bit more natural athleticism to me, like when I was younger. And then even when I got really back into like really working out and stuff, and I would see movements like start to feel easier. And I think that attributes to having like decent coordination, being able to dance, as funny as that sounds, like when you kind of can control movement, athleticism is a little bit more like natural to people.
So you know? All the quinceañeras and weddings and stuff, they helped out.
All the valses and all that stuff. Yeah, that helped out. But sports-wise, I mean, as soon as I got to high school, I got lazy, like super lazy.
Is it because of, you think, the friends you had around?
No, because a few of them actually, like, played soccer and stuff like that.
Okay.
Like, in high school, I got along with everybody, like, and a lot of my good friends were, like, football, on the football team, on the this team, that team, but I don't know, I think that was a point in my life where I started, like, really just getting lazy and not, like, shying away from challenge. And I don't know what it stemmed from, you know, because I grew up playing soccer and I grew up, you know, doing pretty good. It just, and then once I got my license, it was over with.
You got any favorite soccer teams?
Currently, no.
Oh, okay.
Nah. Okay. I'm more, like, nowadays I'm more into UFC. Like, that's the one thing that I follow a lot. Like, my wife and I, like, that's cool because we sit down and we watch everything. So
who's your favorite fighter?
It's hard. Like, I'll go by weight divisions, but
okay.
It started out being really into, like, just keeping current with Cubs' career, because he was inspiring and dope to watch, you know, and he's kind of like ahead of his game when it came to like the things that he would do. And so that was interesting. And then UFC started evolving to like playing the stories of fighters and stuff like that. And so you get to see their backgrounds and what they're all about. And so now it's like, depending on weight class, like there's a lot of good ones that are like out there. That
have you ever trained with Cub before?
No, I did a session with him in terms of like training his core and stuff like that.
Nice.
Yeah, but I've never like actually trained side by side with him. Like he'd run circles around me. So
let's go ahead and close out. Jaime, super thankful, bro. We're super fascinated with your hustle and your motivation, man. And I hope that the listeners, you know, get that out of you telling your story. Come work out. Tell him Selected Series Sanchez, just so we know. Anything else you want to share before we close out?
Make sure you eat before you come work out.
Okay.
Don't get lightheaded. Man, it's likewise, man. Thank you guys for like inviting me into your world too, and just vibing with you guys, and you know, being able to be at the beginning of this for you guys, because I foresee this becoming like such a dope local podcast, man. And it's an honor to, you know, to be on here and just vibing with you guys. And you know, I mean, it's cool, man. We, like we said earlier, we can go out all day with just banter and talk, you know. Guys are great at what you do, so I'm honored to be a part of it, man. Thank you.
Cool. And our vision too is, you know, to keep pushing you too to you know, keep growing, and we eventually want to do another one and see where you're at then.
As fast as I said yes to the first one, I'm gonna say yes to the next one, man. So
Jaime, where can we find you on like social media and on the internet and all that? On the internet.
First off, on the internet, on the interwebs. The website 111conditioningclub.com.
Okay.
And from there, you can like navigate. It'll give you information about the classes and stuff. Ooh. And then there's like the booking route that'll take you to be able to book your classes and stuff. Okay, and then social media, the main one that we use is like 111 conditioning on Instagram. We push a lot of stuff through Instagram. Dope. And then you can look us up the same way on Facebook, 111 Conditioning. Cool. But on the Instagram, like, I'm always dropping little, like, flash sales, you know, so that's it'll be, like, the next 4 hours only, you know, like, buy a package or this or that, and you'll get a certain amount off or, like, you know, so.
So if you don't have an Instagram, make one.
Yeah, make one just for that. Yeah. We try to stay connected, you know, like that, and just keep engaged with everybody, so.
Cool. Where can I get some gear? Is that on the website too?
I usually drop like on the Instagram, like when we're going to release designs. Because a lot of the time, if I release a design, like I'm not going to reprint. So whatever sells, and like, you know, there's no holding, no nothing. It's a very like quick, like flash drop, you know? So limited releases and stuff like that. And I keep it like that just because I have tons of ideas. So I'm always trying to do more.
Yeah.
So I don't want to keep on reprinting like the same stuff over and over, you know?
Yeah.
Cool, that's a good segue for us to kind of say that we're going to start doing some flash drops too with our gear.
Yeah.
For sure. Jeez. For sure. So that keep a lookout. Series.
Maybe we can throw some selected series gear at Hyman, have him wear it. And,
there's a little bit of room on that rack right there.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. You said it.
Thanks, man.
Yep.
Hey, cool. All right.
Cool, man. Well, my name's Disco.
I'm David.
I'm Luis.
And I'm Jaime.
Yay. Thanks, Jaime.
And this is Selected Series Episode 3, guys.
Peace. We're out.